We want to wish every mother a happy Mother's Day, and I want to honor my wife, mother of our three children. Just love you, honey. You're doing a great job. So thrilled for you. I have a mom. I have a mother-in-law. I have a stepmom, and I have any number of women who want to mother me through life. So I just want to say thank you to all of you today. You're just doing a great job. Really appreciate that. I have been made aware that there is a woman in the room today who is the grandmom or mom who has over 100 living descendants. Isn't that awesome? So wherever you're coming from today, if you're a mom or a stepmom or a mother-in-law or a mother-in-love or a volunteer mom or an adoptive mom, we just want to let you know that we see the love of God coming through your life. For many of us, we have never been more loved on this earth physically by another person than by our own mom. So we honor you and we are grateful for you. Can we put our hands together to thank our moms? Mother's Day is a lot of fun. One man asked his wife what she would like for Mother's Day. She said, "I would like simply this. You and the kids get in the car and drive 7 hours east. And then turn around. That's all I want." Someone said she's going to give his mom the most ultimate Mother's Day gift. Going to take her shopping and pretend that he likes it. That's the gift. One man said to his wife, "If you feel tense, honey, on Mother's Day and you get a headache, follow the instructions on the bottle of aspirin. Take 2 tablets and keep away from children. That's what you should do." Someone else said that everybody wants to save the world, but hardly anybody wants to just help mom by doing the dishes, you know? I've mentioned before about a summer evening in a violent thunderstorm. A mother was putting her small boy to bed, and she was about to turn off the light when he asked with a kind of trembling voice, "Mommy, could you sleep with me?" And this young mom said, "Oh, sweetheart, I have to sleep with Daddy." And there was a long pause, and he finally said, "What a sissy." Mother's Day is a lot of fun. But I want to be honest, that Mother's Day can be a hard day. For the woman who has wanted to have a child, but for whom that hasn't happened yet. For the woman who has lost a precious child, today can be a hard day. For the mom who just simply feels overwhelmed by so many of life's pressures on a day like today. For the brave mom who gave up her baby son or daughter for adoption, seeking a better circumstance, a better start in life than she might have been able to provide. For the adopting mom who maybe today is facing dynamics and circumstances that no one could have foreseen. For the mom whose children are uncomfortably distant. We want to identify with you today. We want to stand with you. Whatever your experience is, whatever your come from may be around motherhood, we want to identify with you. Motherhood is tricky. For some of us, we have been so loved by our mom that today is an automatic, and honoring and loving our mom is just a natural thing to do. For others of us, it brings up untold pain and unresolved issues, and we're more acutely aware of kind of what we've missed and how we wrestle with that. Some of us feel today that as moms that we can't even meet our own standards, let alone the standards of other people, let alone whatever God might think about motherhood. I want you to know that at Sunrise we value moms. The work that you are doing to bring up godly kids in your home, the often unseen and never-ending work to raise a family. Once had a conversation about discipleship and where that happens. It doesn't just happen at a McDonald's restaurant. It happens in bedrooms, and it happens in garages, and it happens in family rooms. It happens in our home. And moms are often leading the way. So today we want to encourage and we want to challenge moms and all of us by taking a brief look at one of the things that God says about love. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, would you take it out or turn it on and turn it to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In the first century, in the country of Greece, there was a city called Corinth. And Corinth was located on a little isthmus of land between two seas. And at that time, before the internet, before interstate highway travel, travel and commerce by sea was really the way that the world worked. So being a city located between two seas made it a very important city, a thriving port city, kind of like a San Francisco of its day. Now, the Christians in Corinth, apart from that being such an important city, they were pretty spiritually, they were kind of spiritual babes. They tended to pursue the temporary. They tended to neglect the permanent. They were often impatient with one another. They would envy the spiritual gifts that one another happened. I'm sure we're way past that today in the 21st century. They were critical of one another. They were not modest. They were often proud. They were seldom gracious. They would seek to uphold their own rights, even if it would hurt others. They were easily provoked. This is hard to imagine, but there were Christians in the church in Corinth in the first century who were willing to actually sue one another. Aren't you glad we've come so far in the 21st century? Would never happen in a Christian church. So Paul wrote them a letter to correct them, and we have a copy of that letter. And he decided, with all this stuff that was just cattywampus and going wrong at the church in Corinth, he said he would emphasize love. So if you guys would get love right, we just cut through a lot of the stuff you're struggling with. Paul says, if we lack love in what we do, if we are going to be actually changed for the worse, we would become hollow. And Paul says, I want you guys to be sincere, whole people, not hollow people. So he says, to understand this, there's a couple of things, two or three things I want you to really think about. And the first one is simply that love is essential. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Paul's not talking about love as if it's just some kind of a warm feeling. He's talking about love as an act of the will, a mindset in which you determine whether you are dealing with a friend or a foe, whether you are dealing with a winsome, compliant child or an unruly, rebellious one. You determine that you will love them. You will, in fact, seek their best interest. That's love. Friends, we need to hear and think a little bit about love today because we live in such a sexualized culture that it's almost hard for some people to think about love apart from sex. Love, preferring another person, doesn't necessarily have anything to do with sex. Love is all about seeking another's good. And they don't have to be your friend. They don't have to be your child. Paul writes, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, well, I'm nothing. I'm empty. I'm hollow. Without love, proclaiming the word of God can seem to so many people today as just noise. If we preach the gospel but fail to demonstrate the effects of the gospel in our lives, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. My friends, if you and I were to pool all our money today and give it all to a homeless shelter, but not have love, it could count for nothing before Christ. We can get it almost right and have it all go completely wrong without love. For your spiritual gifts and mine to work, we have to be motivated by love. So it's not just what we do, it's why we do it. The heart with which we do it. As I was working on this message, I came across this story from a physician. He writes, today I visited an 8-year-old girl who was dying of cancer. Her body was disfigured by her disease and by her treatment. She was in almost constant pain. As I entered her room, I was just immediately overcome by her suffering, so unjust, so unreasonable. But even more overpowering was the presence of her grandmother, up and lying in her bed, with her huge body embracing this precious little suffering girl. I stood in awe, knowing that I was on holy ground. The suffering of an innocent child is horrifying. It is beyond words, but I will never forget the great, gentle arms and body of this grandmother. She never spoke while I was in there. She was holding. She was participating. in a suffering that she could not relieve, and somehow her silent presence brought a relief that medicine couldn't. Some of you moms and grandmoms have loved like that. You've stepped into the raw, jagged edge of suffering, not knowing where it would end or if it would end. And so we honor your love this morning. As some of us get into those edgy moments, we know we want to love, but sometimes we find ourselves lacking. And so we need to understand a little bit about what love isn't. There are some naturally occurring tendencies, dynamics in you and me that actually work against love. And Paul calls them out right here. He says there's some things that love just doesn't do. It does not envy. You know, that first couple was Adam and Eve. Their first children were Cain and Abel. Cain envied Abel, and he killed him. So don't feel too bad about your family, okay? How we react when other Christians receive blessings, when other Christians receive benefits that we may lack. Envy is the opposite of contentment. We can become content in Christ. Paul writes, love does not boast. It isn't proud. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says that knowledge puffs up while love builds up. And sometimes this is a challenge for us guys. Maybe you are very accomplished. Maybe your career is really taking off. Maybe before your retirement, you really rang the golden bell and grabbed the golden ring, and it's just an awesome thing. Someone asked President George H.W. Bush, our 41st president, what his proudest moment was. After all, the interviewer said, you've been the president, you've been the vice president, you were a congressman, you were the ambassador for the United States to China, you were the United States ambassador to the United Nations. I mean, what is your proudest moment? Bush said, the proudest thing in my life is that my children still come home. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. There's a graciousness. There's a charm that the world cannot give. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Paul uses an accountant's word here. When a bookkeeper puts something into a book, he's keeping an account of it to be sure that it's paid. When Paul says love keeps no record of wrongs, he's meaning, hey, there's some things we don't even mark down. If you love, there's some things you don't even keep track of. Friends, we live in a fallen world, and love is often notable by its absence. We live in a culture that's increasingly coarse and base and attracted to humanity's lower side. Friends, if you live a long life, you will have many opportunities to respond to people who have hurt you. William Sangster was a Methodist preacher in the last century. At Christmas, he was working on Christmas cards, and a friend glanced through the cards that he was writing, and he came to one written to a man who had publicly berated and attacked this particular preacher. And the friend said, you're not sending a card to that guy, are you? Do you remember what he did? Sangster replied, yes, but I've remembered to forget. And he mailed the card. Friends, do you need to remember to forget? By the grace of God and in his power, you can determine that you're not going to bring up old hurts. Some of us, for the ability to be able to love and engage people, we need to work on some things in our own hearts. We need to be able to let some things go. You know, God forgets what we remember, and God remembers what we forget. Psalm 103 and verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So let's keep no record of wrongs. Maybe the thing that you need to do this Mother's Day is just to pray, God, as you have forgiven my many sins in Christ, would you help me forgive the sins of my mother? Would you help me forgive my mom for the way she's disappointed me or let me down? That's a prayer you can pray. Moms, maybe you need to pray this morning, God, help me forgive the sins of my son or my daughter, the way I feel they've let me down or disappointed me, as you have forgiven me my many sins. That's a prayer you can pray. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. In the 19th century, Alfred Lord Tennyson was the poet laureate of Great Britain. He said about another man, to do him a hurt was to beget a kindness from him. His heart was made of such fine soil that if you planted in it the seeds of hate, they blossomed love. My friend, that can be true of you. That can be true of me because of Christ. Love is essential. And then there are just some things that love doesn't do. So friends, we got to look at our own hearts as we aspire to be loving, to say, God, can you work these things out of my life? An elderly woman one day decided to attend a rural church, and one of the ushers came down the steps and met her and just kind of welcomed her. And she said, hey, you know, he asked, where would you like to sit? And she said, well, I'd just love to sit in the front row. And he said, oh, you probably don't want to do that. This preacher is really boring. And she looked at the usher and she said, do you know who I am? And he said, no. He said, I'm the preacher's mama. He looked at her and he said, do you know who I am? She said, no. He said, good. Hey, Paul helps us out at the end. He says, here's some things that love does. Love does, my friend. Love overcomes the destructive parts of all of our character. Love is patient. Love is kind. It rises above the petty things. It is generous. It is easy to love lovely people. It is easy to love people who are loving other people. But what do we do with unlovely people, mean people, rude people, people that attack, people that mislead? Jesus loved Peter for 3 years, and on his last day, his most difficult day, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus died a painful physical death, and after the resurrection, he reinstated Peter. He forgave him. He loved him when he was unlovable. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. You may be here and there may be one relationship in your life that you just don't know what to do next. You've tried and you've prayed and you've done all these things, but you're just not quite sure what to do next. My friend, I would say protect, trust, hope, and persevere. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8 says, love never fails. My friends, how I would love to be able to read that to you with a sense of triumph, a simplistic sense that it's just that easy. How I would love to be able to just walk through these 8 verses in the book of 1 Corinthians without any knowledge that for all the world, it seems like sometimes our love has failed. See, the challenge for me is I know you and you know me, and we've lived long enough to get some hurts along the way. We have already loved, some of us. And for all the world, it feels like we've lost. We've given ourselves to a person only to find that they were not actually giving themselves back to us. We've watched a friend give and serve and pursue the woman of his dreams just to never actually feel that her affections were directed towards him. For some of us, a loved one was taken from us way too soon, tragically, mysteriously, leaving so many painful, unanswered questions. We've loved a child who gave us such joy, but then who has grown up to kind of turn his back on our values and to separate from the faith that we once shared. Senseless violence is taken from us, the people that matters most. So how can we so simply say, love never fails? Friends, the only way I can come to terms with that is by understanding the Bible. The Word of God says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. And God doesn't fail. I understand that. There's a strange, subversive, majestic way that God works all things, even incredibly hard things in your life and mine for His purpose. The Bible says Christ is God. And I can understand that even with our own apparent losses, Christ will prevail. So my friends, wherever you're coming from in terms of your own experience, would you join me in just rereading our passage today as an act of worship? I've substituted in the word Christ for love. Ready? If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have Christ, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have Christ, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I might boast, but do not have Christ, I gain nothing. Ready for that next slide? Christ is patient. Christ is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Christ does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Christ never fails. My friends, you can take that to the bank. That will work. Wherever you're coming from today, you can get more love than you naturally have. You can experience a love so deep, so enormous and complete and satisfying that you can be loving beyond the way you normally are. You can have love from someone else, love to give away if you let Christ in. No matter where you're coming from today, if church is not where you normally hang out on a Sunday morning, or if you're a Sunrise regular, I wonder if you would join me in praying a simple prayer today. Jesus, more of you, less of me. Wherever you're coming from, you might need to say, Jesus, would you forgive my sins the way I have so completely fallen short of this idea of love? Would you forgive me for my selfishness and my boasting and my envy and the way I've been absolutely loveless? And would you change me from the inside out? Would you put your spirit in me and your word in me that I could be transformed? Jesus, more of you, less of me. Would you make that your prayer today? One of my friends who's really good at loving people is Jen Cole. Would you welcome her to the platform today? Welcome, Jen. God bless you.
Thank you.
Jen is married to James, and she is the mother of 4 active children. So happy Mother's Day,
first off. Can I just say really quick, too, not only is it Mother's Day, but it's our 17-year anniversary today. So how great is that? It's a double celebration day.
Yeah. Fantastic. Awesome. Jen also serves as our women's ministry director, and last weekend hosted the mother-daughter girlfriend tea, which had the highest attendance anybody can remember. So fantastic. Congratulations. Give us a highlight of that morning.
Oh, wasn't that fun, girls? It was great. You know, there were so many highlights, but I think the blessing for me was it has become a mission field. It really has. It's not just a day to celebrate your role as a mom or a wife or a grandma, but it is a time where women take, they buy whole tables, and they say, I don't know who I'm going to invite. I'm going to invite a neighbor or a friend or a coworker. I had so many ladies come up to me that morning and say, can we pray? Can we pray for a coworker who's coming today who doesn't know the Lord? So I think the greatest blessing for me is the seeds that I think were planted that day for the Lord for so many women.
Excited for you and your ministry to women. Now, as Jen and I talked about this day, we wanted to be sure that we, you know, kind of hit the Bible side of all this, but we also wanted to give you a tour of life in the hood, motherhood. And so we wanted to get a couple of people that are really qualified to do that out here today, and we were so thrilled that Cindy Bear accepted our invitation to be interviewed. So would you give Cindy a warm welcome?
Thank you. God bless you, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. All right, you guys, take it away.
Well, it's my honor to introduce my friend, Cindy Bear. You're going to see up here in a moment some pictures, some snapshots of her and her beautiful family. So this is Cindy and Brad. They have been married for 14 years, and they have really poured their heart and soul into the body of Sunrise in a lot of different ways. Brad serves on our Finance Commission. They are also marriage mentors and actively involved in the Couples in Christ class. And it's my honor to serve alongside Cindy on the Women's Leadership Team. She's on a team of 10 ladies who pray and plan for women's events here at Sunrise. But really, where our friendship flourished was at the women's retreat about 2 years ago. We had been friends for quite a few years because our kids are the same age. But our friendship went to another level at that women's retreat. So she has been my greatest blessing from that retreat 2 years ago.
Thank you, Jen.
And so I just encourage you ladies just to take that step in coming to the retreat. Join us this September, and you might have the blessing of coming out of it with a friendship like I did with Cindy.
Thanks,
so Jen. I just want to introduce their children as well. We have Jessica up there who is 30. Kevin is 26. And Hannah and Noah are both 12 years old. So that's a little glimpse into the Bear family. And what I'm going to do is just ask Cindy a few questions just to give us a snapshot into her journey into motherhood. So first question I have for you is, what was your childhood and your parents like? And how did they shape the mom that you are today?
It's my pleasure to talk about my mom and dad. My parents, when they met, they decided that they were going to raise their children completely opposite of what they experienced because they both came from domestic abusive homes. And so they sacrificed and gave us unconditional love, encouraged us, were always so proud of us, and just made us feel like there was nothing we couldn't accomplish. And the most important value, they're both very optimistic and positive people, so that was so wonderful too. But I think the biggest lesson is they taught us that no matter what life throws you, there's always a silver lining. There's always a lesson. I love you, Mom.
Oh, that's Cindy's mom. Can we say Happy Mother's Day to Cindy's mom? Thank you for being here with us. It's precious. So, Cindy, what has your journey into motherhood looked like?
Well, let's see. I was 22 when I had Jessica and 25 when I had Kevin. And due to unforeseen circumstances, I was a single mom when they were 3 and 6. So the last 10 of my years with them, I was single. So that was quite a journey, and it was so fulfilling. And the Lord just came beside me as my husband, and he fulfilled us spiritually, physically, emotionally. Financially took care of all of our needs. I was able to cut back my hours and be at all their events raising them. And it just taught us to lean on into each other, to be there for each other, to support each other. I mean, there were some hard years in there, but God saw us through, and it was so good. And I wouldn't trade those years for anything. It was a wonderful journey.
That's great. So how does God come alongside you in your role as a mom?
Oh, geez. Every day, just fulfilling me. I think this last year, especially Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, has been my verse. He's just teaching me so much as a mom, and I was so excited and blessed when I met Brad, and he wanted more children, and I thought, well, God willing. Jesse and Kev were 13 and 16 at the time, and he blessed us. We were able to have our precious little angel, Hannah. And just 2 years after that, he blessed us with our wonderful son, Noah, from Russia. So he has just come alongside me and strengthened me and just helped me to love my children unconditionally and support them and whatever they endure. So I just, I could not be who I am without Christ.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the journey of how Noah joined your family?
I would love to tell you that story. About when Hannah was about a year old, Brad approached me about adoption. And he was really excited and all for it because his two of his siblings are adopted. So I at first was very nervous and anxious and fearful. And I had questions like, well, if I adopt a child, will I bond with that child like I did the children I gave birth to? Will I love that child? Will that child bond to me? And then when I knew God had called me into this mission, I was completely on board, and he just guided my hand every every step of it. And then when we flew to Russia and we got to meet Noah for the first time, all those fears were washed away. I saw him and I was completely in love, and I knew God, this was his child that he had given me, and what a gift that was. I just love my little Noah.
That's great. What scripture or scriptures speak to your heart as a mom?
I would say definitely Proverbs 31. I love the attributes and characteristics of that woman. She works hard. She provides for her children. She provides food and clothing, and they have no fear, and she laughs at the days to come because she knows God's in complete control. And I just love that about that woman. And Philippians 4:13, that we're unstoppable with Christ. We can do all things for him. Nothing's impossible. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
I know that that's a verse that you've really clung on to in this past year, especially with your relationship with your daughter, Jessica. Could you share that a little bit more with us?
Sure, absolutely. Jessica, in June of 2006, coming home from her freshman year of college on our long drive back from L.A., she told me that she is gay. And at first, I was blown back and taken. It took quite a toll, but through the challenge and loving her and knowing that God told me, he said, Cindy, this child is mine. And she was mine before she was yours. And I have a plan for her life. And you are to come alongside her and love her and show her mercy and grace. And so through the years, we've done that. And we've become very, very close friends. We've grown and we've learned from each other. And this last August, we had a pretty big blow up to our foundation and our relationship. And there's some cracks and there's some repair work that needs to be done. And she's been estranged from me since 9 months now. The pain, I have to admit, has been very, very painful. But God has just covered me in his wings and told me that he's got this under control, that I am to be obedient and to trust him. And the good news is, in the last couple months, she reached out and she's open to going to counseling. And so we have started that journey. And so praise God, his timing's always perfect.
It is. It is. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for sharing more into your journey of motherhood. And church, can we join together and just pray for Cindy and her family, and especially her relationship with Jessica? Father God, we just lift Cindy up to you, God. Thank you for the way that you created and blended her family, Lord. Thank you for Brad and for bringing him into her life. Lord, thank you for the blessings of Jessica, Kevin, Hannah, and Noah, Lord. Thank you for entrusting them in her care, Lord. We know that she is their earthly mother, God, and just preparing them for their heavenly home, Lord. So I just pray a special blessing, especially over Cindy's relationship with Jessica, God. I thank you for the steps of moving forward, of reconciliation, Lord. And I just pray in the months and years to come, God, that you can just heal the wounds, that you can bind them together, Lord, that you can just continue to give your arms of comfort and peace around Cindy, God, in this time, Lord. And I just pray for Jessica, too, for an open heart and an open mind to see how much her mother does love her, God, and that she is here for her in love and respect and admiration. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
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 Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, that was awesome, Jen. Thank you. And Cindy, thanks for sharing your story. Could we just appreciate Cindy and Brad and their family? Things that are going on there. Wow. If Cindy's story connects to part of your story, she and Brad are going to be available just after the service. If you'd like to connect or just ask them some questions or receive prayer, they'd love to connect with you. And Jen, motherhood is a really big part of women's ministry, but there are some other elements as well. So give us an idea of what that includes.
Well, there's a lot that our women can become involved with here at Sunrise. And just a few that I'd like to highlight for you, especially for us moms out there. We have MOPS, which is a ministry for mothers of preschoolers, and Moms Next, which is for our elementary age moms. On Tuesday mornings, we also have coffee and conversation, which is for women of all ages, right here in our foyer, where women just come to connect and be together and know that they're in life together and not alone. Also, we have other ministries, heart-to-heart meal ministry for those who are in need, maybe after having a baby or after an illness. We have stamp camp. We have girls' scrapbooking night. We also have opportunities to serve, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the community with our ministry, Love in Action. We actually have an event coming up, a church-wide event that I just encourage all of you to join in June, on June 25th. And what we're going to be doing is a church-wide workday at Courage House, at Courage Worldwide. We have just adopted that ministry as a heartbeat of women's ministry. And Courage Worldwide is a ministry that is in the Rockland area that is a home for restoring and rescuing girls who are overcoming the world of human trafficking. So we want men, women, children alike to join us on that day in serving that ministry and the girls there. Also, another great ministry that I am so excited to announce that's going to be coming up in September is Solo Connection. So if you are a woman 50 and above who maybe has never been married, maybe you're divorced, maybe you're widowed, this is a ministry for you. We are going to begin in September, and it is going to be once a month on Thursdays, and we're just going to have a time of lunch and fellowship together and just knowing, again, that you're not alone, that there is a group of women there going along that journey with you. So there is more to come, and we're going to have an information meeting in June, and we encourage you to come join us with that.
Jen, that's exciting. You and your team are doing a great job. So thrilled about how you're serving here. And as a congregation, about once a month, we'll take an offering for our benevolence fund. And it really is to help folks in need in our community. We decided that this month, in light of Mother's Day, we would just dedicate that offering to the ongoing women's ministry. And it really helps make ministry more accessible to women in our community. So ushers will be available at the door. They'll wait on you if you'd like to contribute to the great work that Jen and her team are doing to serve Christ in the lives of women in Sunrise and in our community. If you'd like prayer for any reason today, my friends and I are going to be available in the front as well as in the back. We'd love to connect with you. And then if you are a woman today, by special decree, we have a Godiva chocolate truffle for you at the doorway. Sometimes church tastes really good. Moms, happy Mother's Day. God bless you. Have a great week.